Let's just commence our meeting tonight with a word of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to thee tonight and in through that precious and all-worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we thank thee tonight for the blessed Saviour. We thank the Lord tonight for the one who saves from all sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'd be pleased to come and work in hearts. Speak to souls, O God, we pray. Lord, that this night you'd be pleased to come, visit us with salvation. Help us now as we would praise thy name. Help thy servant as we come, sing and preach the word of God. Lord, use him mightily amongst us tonight, we pray. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to start by singing together words of one of Fanny Crosby's great hymns, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, there a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. 3-5, if you copy of our hymn book. If not, the words will be on your screen. We'll keep our seats as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's seek again the Lord's face in a word of prayer. If you know not the Lord, then I encourage you, please pray with us. It's our prayer tonight for those who are here without Christ, that you would be challenged about your need of salvation, and that you would come to him tonight. You'd be saved. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for the cross of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we tonight would say with Paul that our boast is all in the cross. Lord, we thank thee tonight for the finished work of the cross. We thank the Lord tonight that there he made one sacrifice for sin forever. Lord, we rejoice this evening, Lord, that there you died that we might live. There you gave your life that we might have eternal life. We thank the Lord tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Lord, what a privilege it is tonight to be in Christ. Lord, what a joy it is tonight for each one that's saved to know with assurance that our sins are forgiven. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll thrill our hearts. Lord, encourage us tonight as we would remember once again all that we have because of what Christ accomplished for us there at that place called Calvary. But, O God, we thank thee tonight that burdens are still lifted at Calvary. We thank the Lord tonight that the blood of Christ still cleanses from sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening that you will be pleased, Lord, to speak. Speak to those in this meeting who are out of Christ. Lord, speak to those tonight who are far from God and still in nature's darkness. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll be pleased to draw, Lord, sinners to thyself. By thy power, O God, convict of sin and, Lord, convict of judgment. O God, we pray that tonight you will be pleased to take sinners out of that broad way that leads to a lost eternity. And Lord, that this night you would plant their feet upon that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. Lord, to this end we pray that you'll help thy servant. Give him help, O God, this evening. Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with power. Lord, that this night you would baptize him with power from on high. Lord, as he administered to us in song. And then, Lord, as he would bring the gospel, the word you've laid upon his heart tonight, Lord, help him. Lord, we pray that you'll stand with him in this pulpit. And may he know the help of heaven. O God, we pray that this night again you'll touch his lips with that live coal from off the altar. And Lord, we pray that tonight you will be pleased through the preaching of the gospel to bring sinners to thyself. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak through the preacher. Heavenly Father, speak through the preacher tonight. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even as thy servant would open his heart to us this evening, Lord, that hearts will be opened to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. Lord, as we come to this final meeting of this gospel weekend, we pray, Lord, you'll come and crown it, Lord, with thy salvation. We thank thee for your presence with us this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for help given to thy servant as he ministered the gospel to us. And, O God, we pray you'll give him help again tonight. Thank thee, Lord, for Thursday night. We thank thee for Friday night. We thank thee, Lord, for those who were in out of Christ, who heard their need to be saved. O God, we pray that tonight you'll speak on. And Lord, especially in this final meeting, come, O God, we pray. Lord, pass us not by, we pray. Come and pour out your Holy Spirit in the most remarkable and the most unusual way. And Lord, that this day we'll leave this place knowing it was good for us to be here, because here we met with the Lord. Come and meet with us tonight, we pray. Come and speak to every waiting heart, we ask. We pray for those who are watching online. Lord, we pray you'll challenge. Lord, those who tonight have no thought after thee. Lord, no concern about their eternal soul. Save them tonight, we pray. We think of this community. Oh, Lord, we think of this district of Ballyhackamore. Oh, God, there are many, many tonight going about their business with no thought of where they'll be in eternity. Lord, stop them tonight. Lord, whatever they're doing, Lord, we pray that you'll cause them to think about, Lord, even that reality that we were brought face to face with this morning, that there is but a step between me and death. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight sinners will prepare to meet their God. So be with us. Bless the preaching of the Word of God across our land and across our nation. And Lord, we pray that you'll turn this nation back to God once again. Lord, that we'll have those rivers of blessing, those torrents of revival to swim in once again. Lord, we cry unto thee, come and do thine own work tonight, we ask. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this stage, let me welcome you all along to our meeting tonight. This is the final meeting of our special weekend of gospel mission, and we want to thank you for being with us this evening. We appreciate your presence and your support. To those who are visiting with us, and it's good to see quite a number of visitors in tonight, thank you for being with us. You're very, very welcome, and thank you for being a part of our congregation tonight. To those who are in the main sanctuary, to those who are in the back rooms as well, we welcome you all in the Saviour's name. I have my aunt and uncle over here from Canada, and we're glad to have Marty and Lorraine with us tonight. I want to welcome you all in the Saviour's name. Pray the Lord will bless you richly and be near to you. as you've joined with us tonight. If you're here tonight without the Saviour, it is our prayer, it is our desire that before this meeting would be over, that you would get right with God. The only purpose that we are holding this gospel weekend is that you would hear your need of salvation. We're not here to exalt ourselves. We're not here to lift up ourselves or our church. We're here simply to present Christ. He's the only hope and he is the only message. I want to thank the congregation for their support over this weekend and also in preparation for the weekend. I want to thank all those who helped in preparation, getting all the invitations out and distributed. We appreciate your kindness and your willingness to help in that regard. Thank you for those that you brought. Thank you for inviting people, bringing people along. It's been so encouraging Thursday and Friday night and again today to see people bringing others to the house of God. So thank you in the Saviour's name. Just very quickly, a few announcements to bring to your attention. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, we'll meet here in the church once again. And that will be our midweek meeting by way of a deputation meeting this Thursday evening. Our brother Robert McConnell, who works under the mission board as a full-time children's evangelist, will be here to tell of his work. So come along Thursday evening and there'll be an offering taken up at that meeting. Then on Friday night for elders, there'll be the presbytery meeting on Zoom at 8. Next Lord's Day, 10:15. The Sunday School and the Bible class, morning worship at 11:30, and 2:30, the Hollywood Sunday School, and then gospel service next Sunday evening at 6:30. And I'm afraid you're back to having to listen to me next week. Next Sunday evening, our brother Jonathan Mitchell will be here to sing. Then Sunday the 13th of June, that will be our Children's Day in the morning. Children will be taking part in the morning time, and our young people in the Bible class will be taking part in the evening. So remember that and plan to be with us. Do remember those who need our prayers, those who are unwell in hospital at this time, connected with the congregation. Do pray that the Lord will keep his hand upon them. There are no offerings being lifted up during the meetings at this time, but there are boxes there on the doors you leave and at the bottom of the stairs for those who are upstairs if you wish to support the work of the Lord. It's been our privilege and our pleasure this weekend to have those along with us to preach and to take part in our gospel service. It's been a particular pleasure to have with us today the Reverend McCrae, no stranger to any one of us. We certainly were blessed by his ministry this morning. The Lord gave him help in a most particular way. And we want to thank him for giving of his time and being with us today to close off this gospel weekend. And we welcome him, welcome Mrs. McCrae again this evening. Welcome them both in the Saviour's great name. I'm just going to hand over now to him. He's going to bring a few messages in song and then bring the concluding message in this gospel mission. The Lord bless you and the Lord be with you.
I don't want a mansion here in this world of sin and shame. All I want to know is I was born again. I don't want wealth or fame. I don't care who knows my name. And the trial. once my life was filled with sin, and I had no peace within. Then I read where you must be born again. So I knelt there in my despair. Jesus came and met me there. Now I know, thank God I know, I'm born again. Go through. Yes, there's one in heaven above, looking down in peace and love, and he tells me that I've been born again. Yes, I know, thank God I know, I'm born again.
Turns the night to golden day. Thank God that's as true tonight as ever it was. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Remember some years ago, or just a couple of years ago, I led a gentleman over 80 years of age to Jesus Christ. He asked me to come to his house to talk to him about the things of God. He had sat for many years under the preaching of the gospel, where I had the joy of preaching the gospel in Macrofell. He asked me to come to see him, and we talked about the things of God, and as we shared together, we realized that he wasn't saved right with God, well past the 70 years. But thank God had the joy that day in his own home of leading to Jesus Christ. Never forget what he said to me. He said, "Mr. McRae, I feel clean. I feel clean." And friend, that's true. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth, keeps on cleansing from all sin. Let's open our Bibles tonight. We're turning to the book of John's Gospel, a familiar passage of God's Word. And the third chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we'll commence reading at the opening verse of this passage of God's infallible truth. That's John chapter 3. And commencing to read there at the verse number 1. Follow us in the reading of God's precious word, and we thank you for bringing your Bible. And if you haven't got your Bible with you and someone is there in the family with you, just share the word of God. But then the word of God says this: "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And I trust tonight that God will give me grace to preach the word, and that you'll be able to hear words whereby you too can be saved. That's John's Gospel, chapter 3, and commencing to read at verse number 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you,
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We end the reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his truth for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Perhaps we'll stand just for a wee word of prayer, just to change your position. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee this evening for thy precious word. Thank you for liberty already given in this service and the brother leading it. And we thank thee for those that have come to hear thy precious truth. And I pray tonight that thou wilt, O God, by thy Holy Spirit, just fill me with the power that I need to preach Christ. That's all I want, is the power to preach Christ. We thank thee that thou hast said in thy word, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And Spirit of God, I pray that thou will draw men and women, boys and girls, and moms and dads, and grandas and grandas, and grannies to know Jesus, that they too might be saved. So to this end, our God, give me power to do that. Cover me in the precious blood, and may the name of Christ be glorified. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. When you read the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ was often surrounded by a crowd of people. Do you remember the crowd sat upon the hillside and the Lord Jesus spake unto them? And indeed he fed the multitude of 5,000. And then, of course, there were 12 baskets that were left over. But you quite often you find the Savior and the record of the Word of God is not the Lord Jesus dealing with crowds, but is dealing with individuals. Because remember, that's how people are saved. You're saved. It's an individual, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mom, you can't trust Christ for your children. Dad, you can't trust Christ for your children or the parents or the children for their parents. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and personal encounter with Christ. We find indeed the Lord Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, the woman that was there in sin. You remember the man that sat up the tree, Zacchaeus, and the Lord Jesus was passing that way. And the Lord Jesus called him down, and that day Jesus went home with him. Remember, the Lord Jesus was walking past the wayside, and there sitting by the wayside was a man blind. He was called blind Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And he cried out when he heard that Jesus was passing that way, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stopped the crowd and said, "Bring him to me." See, the Lord Jesus Christ was interested in the one that nobody else cared about. And they brought Bartimaeus finally to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ went to a home one day. It was Jairus. He was a ruler. Jairus' daughter, and she was dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ turned that home of sorrow into a home of joy. The Lord Jesus Christ met the demon of Gadara. Remember, the Lord crossed the angry sea and came to the other side at the right place, at the right time, for the right person. And there was a man up there running among the tombs, and he was cutting himself. He tried to commit suicide, and people tried to help him. They even tried to bind him with chains, and he just tore them asunder. And he cried, brokenhearted, his life ruined, stained, gripped by sin and the powers of hell. That was until Jesus came. Thank God his life was changed that day. And whenever the crowd came to see him, there he was, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed, he was sitting, he was in his right mind. The Lord Jesus was going away from that scene because they told Jesus, "Get out of the way, go away." They didn't want the Savior. The man said, "I'll go home with you." He said, "No, go home. Go home and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee." And that's what he did. You see, the Lord changes lives. And when we come to this passage of God's Word in John's Gospel chapter 3, here we find an encounter with another individual person. And we find he is called Nicodemus. Now, of course, there were those that were interested in Christ because of the miracles that he did. And there was the stirring among the crowds in the community because the Savior had done many things among them. And people were talking about Christ. And amongst those that heard about the Savior many times before, there was this man called Nicodemus. The Bible says, if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, he was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now that means he was religious. He was a Pharisee. He was one that kept the law. Indeed, he was concerned about meticulously following the Jewish laws. He believed that it was by the performance of the outward performance of the rules and the rituals and the ceremonies that somehow that he would be right with God. He was one of the separated ones. He separated him because of his religious beliefs from the common people by his strict adherence to the rules and the regulations. He believed that was all he needed. And is it not true that there's so many today in Ulster and perhaps in Sandra now, maybe somebody sitting here, and friend, that's what all you think you need. You are relying upon your religious observance. You say to me, "Preacher, listen, I read my Bible, I say my prayers, I go to church, I give me offerings into the work of God, I do all of these things, and I try to live the best I can. Surely God would not require anything more than that." Let me ask you, my friend, if that was enough, then tell me this. Why did God give his son to Calvary's cross to shed his blood? If you can get to heaven on your own, why did God give this darling son, send him to a cross to be despised and rejected of men, to be cursed and mocked and scorned at, and they pulled the hairs from his cheeks, and then they wounded his hands as they drove the nails through his hands and his feet, and then the sword into his side. Tell me, why did God do that? If you've got your own way to heaven. He was religious, and maybe so are you. And by that, my friend, he thought that was enough. Now the Word of God goes on to say not only he was religious, but the Word of God tells us there in verse number 1, he was a ruler of the Jews. And what that meant was this, that Nicodemus was not only religious, he was a ruler. He held a high office amongst them. You see, the Sanhedrin, he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. It was the body that ruled the Jewish people in the religious affairs. And even though the Roman authorities had power over the people, yet they give the authority as regards religious matters and ordinary matters into the hands of this Sanhedrin. It was a 71-person body. And Nicodemus was one of them. He was highly respected. They viewed him as an important person in society. Yes, he was a ruler. He had a good name among them. And what does the proverb say? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And my friend, it's good to have a good name amongst your neighbors and amongst your community. But I tell you this, if that's what you're relying to get you to heaven, you'll go to hell. You see, it's not your good name that takes you to heaven. It's another name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. What's the name? Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save him. He shall save his people from their sin. And so we find he was religious. We find that he was a ruler. Natural fact, you'll notice something else about him. For the word of God says in verse number 10, the Lord Jesus speaking to him, he says, art thou a master of Israel? Now what does that mean? The word there means, art thou a teacher? In actual fact, it's actually in the original, it is, art thou the teacher? In actual fact, he was the leading teacher amongst them. In that place, he had an honored position in the affairs, the religious affairs of the people. And yet with all of this teaching ability, he was totally ignorant of the plan of God's salvation. For Jesus says, art thou a teacher and knowest not these things? My friend, you could be able to tell me many things in the Word of God. Not be saved. We used to have a wee man came to our church for many years. A wee man came to the services. Oh, there used to be, in his neighborhood, there used to be a pub. It was called the Fox and Thistle. And he used to sit on a Saturday night on the bar stool in the Fox and Thistle. He used to tell the other drinkers around him, he says, you know, I'm going to McCrae's church tomorrow night. And they said, man, what are you going there? He says, I'm going there to hear him preach. And Matt would tell him, you know what he tells us? He tells us you need to be saved. And here's a man telling others he need to be saved. Was Matt saved? No, he wasn't. Going to hell. Remember one day challenging Matt concerning God's salvation. I said, Matt, are you saved? He says, no, I'm not. But he says, well, I tell you something. There's a woman that lives not too far from me. And she goes to a church not too far from me. And she goes to a prayer meeting not too far from me. And she has a Bible in her hand. It's the size of herself. Now, maybe you're giving a wee bit to exaggeration. But that's what he said. He says, the Bible's as big as her. And I want to tell you, she's the biggest hypocrite in the country. And he says, let me tell you, if she's going to heaven, I'll go to heaven too. I said, just hold on a minute, man. The Bible says, I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and you not answer for her, and she not answer for you. You just leave her with God. But you need to be ready to meet God too. Thank God, after many years one night, with the joy of seeing Matt gloriously and wonderfully saved, and now he's in heaven. You see, friend, he knew the gospel. He knew it. Do you remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus was going down the Damascus Road and he was riding down there to persecute the people of God and to bring them back and to imprison them and to put them to death because of this man called Jesus. And he thought he was doing God a good turn. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Yes, one of these boys. He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, the strictest of the strict. And yet as he was going down that road to Damascus, friend, the Lord stopped him on that Damascus road. And he fell on the ground. And Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What was the answer? He said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? You see, friend, let me tell you this. He was religious, but he was lost. He didn't know the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight. And yes, you're respectable. And yes, you're honored in society. But you don't know the Lord. And I want to tell you, on the authority of that book, you'll never be in heaven. And if you'll never be in heaven, that means you'll be in hell for all eternity. For Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, let me tell you, Jesus is not a way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. I said he was respected, probably for one other thing, not only because he was a ruler, not only because he was this great teacher, or the teacher of the people, but I noticed something that he said in respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he asked the Lord Jesus, he couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Look in verse number 4. How can a man be born when he's old? That tells me that this was an elderly man. He said, how can you be born when you're old? Can you enter again the second time into your mother's womb? And here we find a man, friend, that has lived nearly all of his life, coming to the end of the journey. Religious, respected, ruler, lost, without Christ. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And God has given you your days. Maybe you've come to near the end of the journey, friend, past the 70 years and 10, and still you're not saved. I remember holding a mission one time down in Kelson Connor. Remember, that's where revival broke out. 1859 revival. I was there down in the Orange Hall in Kelson Connor, and it was the last Sunday service. The hall was absolutely bung. I made the appeal that night, or that evening, and thank God many precious souls did come to Jesus Christ. And after I'd spoken to them, I was about to go out, and this wee man was sitting just down at the door. He said, Mr. McCray, could I speak to you? I said, yes, friend, what can I do? He said, Mr. McCray, let me tell you my story. He said, I'm 92 years of age. I remember as a much younger man going to a meeting conducted by the old Pastor Paisley, that's Dr. Paisley's father. He says, I remember that night well because God spoke to my heart and troubled my soul about my need of God's salvation. And at the end of the service when the appeal was made, he said, I lifted my hand, I indicated I wanted to come to Christ, but the pastor didn't see me. The old devil said to me that night, do you know why the pastor never saw you? Because God doesn't want you. And as he sat there and the tears were running down his cheeks, he says, I'm 92 years of age, preacher. I listened to you carefully in this mission. Tell me, could God save me? Thank God that afternoon, I opened the Word of God. I said this, whosoever, friend, that takes you in, whoever you are, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Thank God at 92 years of age, he started for heaven. It wasn't long after that he was in it. But imagine, friend, living 92 years on the road to hell without Christ. Nicodemus, he asked, how can a man be born the second time when he's old? Yes, we have the inquiry. But notice something else about it. Notice his respect. How did he speak to Jesus? Look at verse 2. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except that thou doest, except God be with him. The word Rabbi is a word of great respect. Now remember that time, my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ went out, the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders, they tried to kill him. They hated him. They didn't want him. But here we find, here was this Jewish leader, and somehow God had been working in his heart. And he himself was regarded as the teacher of the Jews. And yet he comes into the presence of Jesus and he said, Rabbi, teacher. He knew that there was something different about this man called Jesus. And friends, so there is. Now notice what he said about him. He said, thou art a teacher come from God. And then he starts speaking about the miracles, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now he was partly correct. He did come from God because the Father sent the Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent a Son into this world. The Bible tells us in verse number 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him that the world through him might be saved. So he came from God. And then he said this, he said, you know, nobody can do these miracles except God be with him. He said, God is with you in a special way. But what he didn't realize was this, that Jesus was much more than he imagined, because he is indeed God manifest in the flesh. Listen to me carefully. What was his name? Emmanuel, God with us. The God-man. The Son of God, God the Son. But thank God in an inquiry, he wanted to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, because somehow God was working in his heart. And I trust tonight, I pray tonight, in this last night of your meetings, that God has been working in your heart, that God has been challenging your soul, that God has been revealing to you, dear unsaved person, listen, in your sin you're lost. Do you realize it? In your sin you're lost. Remember a wee girl, it was the 12th of July in Makara, and a wee girl and her mommy went up to the ice cream van, and mommy got her a little cone, and the wee girl got caught up, and then the crowds were all around, and mommy and the wee girl were walking away, but somehow she was so taken up with her ice cream cone, she just walked on, never noticed that mommy was going that way, and she was going that way. There were hundreds and thousands of people in the town that day. Until the wee girl looked around and she was looking for Mommy, and Mommy wasn't there. And then she forgot about the ice cream cone friend, and the tears were running down her cheeks, and they were real, I can tell you, they weren't make-believe. And this big policeman came and stood beside her, and he got down in his hunkers, and he said, "What's wrong, darling?" And she said, "Mister, I'm lost. I'm lost. Tell me, do you realize you're lost in your sin? Are you on your way to hell, friend, laughing and jiving on your way to hell? Without a thought, why? Because the realization hasn't gripped your heart. Oh God, in my sin, I'm lost. I'm lost. Without Christ, I'm without hope. And I'm headed out to the blackness and darkness of a lost eternity forever." Oh, that God would grip your heart. And this man's heart was gripped. And notice, it says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night, friend? Because of others. He was the teacher of the people. What would the people say if they knew that the great teacher was going to this man called Jesus? So therefore he waited until the darkness fell. And he slipped away in the darkness to get to Christ. Friend, I can tell you this, that's a barrier in many a heart. There's many a man, many a woman going to hell tonight because of others. What would people say? What would my family say? What would my friends say? What would my workmates say? If I were to get saved and stand down Free Church tonight, let me ask you this, my friend, and you go to a Christmas eternity, what will they say then? Don't you ever forget this. They can laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. That's why God said in His Word, the fear of man, it brings a snare. Oh, he wouldn't come in the daylight. He slipped away in the darkness. But thank God he came. Thank God he came. But you know that whenever it says there, the same came to Jesus by night, that tells me something else. That spoke about the situation in his heart. He was in the darkness of a sin. Although he was a religious teacher, he was totally ignorant of the things of God, spiritual darkness. Friend, I can tell you this. That's where you are, sinner, if you're unsaved. You're in the darkness. Because if you haven't Christ, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And if you haven't Christ, who's the light, you're in the darkness. But that Bible tells me that the lost sinner is going to a place where there is the blackness of darkness forever. I remember one night talking to a wee woman about the things of God. I'd preached to her many times. She came to her services. She had tragedy in her life because one day her husband on the farm was tragically killed. She had a little baby that lived 6 months. And then the wee baby died too. And she was left in that big house all alone. And one night as I was talking to her, one day I was talking to her in her own home, she looked me in the eye and she said to me, "Mr. McRae, tell me this. If what you're saying is true, then my husband's in hell." I never knew her husband. But I knew he was brought up in a gospel preaching church where he knew the gospel. And I also knew that he didn't die instantly, because God gave him a time under that machinery to get right with God. There was no way back as far as life was concerned. He was heading out into God's eternity. He knew God's way of salvation. And I said to her, "My dear, I don't know how your husband stood with God, because God gave him the 11:59 before he went out into eternity." I never forget what she said. She says, "Mr. McRae, and if he wasn't saved, he's in hell. And these are the words. And I want to go to hell too with him." She sat in the seat there in her living room. And I sat in the seat there, friend, and she was crying, and so was I. I said, "I want to say something solemn, but I have to be faithful. The Word of God says hell's the blackness of darkness forever." Listen to me carefully. There are no family reunions in hell. I want to tell you the end of the story, friend. Thank God I had the joy of leading that woman to Christ. And she's in heaven tonight. But she was in the blackness of her sin before the light of the glorious gospel shone in. And she called on the Lord to save her. I know time's away, friend, listen. But notice what Jesus said to this man. Here we have the instruction. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't only say, "You must be born again," and leave it there. He told him how. And sometimes preachers, whenever they stand, they tell people the need to be saved, and yet they don't tell them how to be saved. Friend, I'd like to go down verse by verse in that passage of God's Word. But do you know that to Nicodemus that night, or that night, the best known verse in the Bible was said to him? John 3:16. That was to Nicodemus. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, "Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And let me tell you, Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about, because he was saying, "Listen, God the Father gave me. And I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to shed my blood. And I'm going to die in your guilty room instead, Nicodemus. Because of lost humanity. Because of men and women held and bound and fettered by their sin that are going to a Christless eternity. God so loved you, Nicodemus, And he gave his only begotten Son, the left, heaven's glory. And stepped down into the sin-cursed seat of time. And I'm going to the cross. Because the Bible says that not only God loved the sinners, but he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to the cross. To the suffering. To the shame. Why? Why, Lord Jesus, did you go to Calvary? Because the Father so loved you and wanted to save you, but there was no other way. And I came at the Father's command. And I came to die in the sinner's stead as the sinner's substitute in the sinner's place. He died that I might be forgiven. He died to make me good, that I might go at last to heaven saved. Saved. With his precious blood. That whosoever, Nicodemus, whosoever believeth in me, listen to these words, shall not perish. Whosoever will believe and trust in my work upon the cross, dying in your guilty room instead, suffering the pain and the anguish of hell that you ought to have suffered. But I bear it all for you. If you put your faith and trust in my finished work, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. He pointed them to a down in the wilderness whenever the serpents bit the children of Israel. And the people were dying. No hope. Until God in love devised a plan. Remember, it wasn't Moses' plan. It was God's plan. And God says, take the serpent, the brazen serpent, and put it in a pole for everyone to see. It's accessible to all. Put it up there. And tell the people, they that look upon it shall live. There were those that died, friend, because they thought the plan was too simple. Sure, it has to be something else. Look and live. That was it. But you see, friend, to look, you had to believe. You had to believe. You had to take God at his word. Moses says, God has said, whoever looks at the brazen serpent lifted high shall live. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth, listen, in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation's not in the church, friend. Salvation's not in the preacher. Salvation's not in the creed. Salvation is in Christ alone. And these people, let me tell you, looking at themselves dying, they weren't going to save them. There's no use trying to clean up outside because the poison of the serpent was in the bloodstream. It was an inside problem. Friend, there's no use you trying to clean up outside, because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, born again. The natural birth of the flesh, that which is flesh, is flesh. Your natural nature is a sinful nature. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You need to be born of God. Listen to me carefully. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus saves. Thank God for the truth tonight. Nicodemus heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, thank God that takes you in. Whosoever believeth in him, rest your soul upon what Christ did for you at Calvary's cross. It is enough that Jesus died. What did Christ cry on the cross, friend? He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. The work's done. You do not have to work your soul to save. For that my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for the sake of God's own Son. Tell me, do you know Jesus tonight? Because without him, you'll be lost forever. Two ways before us lie, and each a choice we'll make. There's one upward to the sky, and the other's downward to the lake. Tell me, will any choose that path of woe? For each soul will answer, yes. Or no. It's invitation time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We thank thee that thou hast provided in thy Son the only Savior, the only way of salvation. We thank thee that thou dost so love men and women, boys and girls, and Sam down tonight, that you give your darling Son to the cross of Calvary. And there he died for me, for sinners just like me. He shed his precious blood to take away my sin. For the wages of sin was death. He died in my place. Condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Friend, the meeting's over in a moment. Let me ask you a question. What will you do with Jesus? Men and women, you're at a crossroads tonight. What will you do with Jesus? You will accept or you will reject. But you will do something tonight. For here's God's servant. Our dear brother, the preacher of this church, will gladly open the scriptures and so would I. Don't go away, friend. I beg you in God's name, stay behind while others are going. But don't go away without Jesus. Heavenly Father, give deciding grace. O Lamb of God,